Lord, we thank you because you are the never-changing God. And we ascribe all the glory and all the honor to you. Thank you for your word that comes to us. We receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise. Let your name be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Louder. Praise the Lord. Louder. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Good morning to you all. Welcome to church once again. And welcome to those online. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so good to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I've been blessed this morning. Thank you, Toby, for that. And yielding to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I hope that you have been enjoying the year 2025 and I'm staying within the confines of the scripture. Amen. This morning we'll be looking at how to deal with temptation. How to deal with temptation. And usually what we have been taught or we have been told is that when you are dealing with something, you'll be able to, define it. Okay? You need first to be able to define it, and then you're able to look at it and then take it head on. James chapter 1 and verse 13. Verse 12. This blessed is the man who endures temptation. But when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Hallelujah. It says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Hallelujah. Let me take it again from verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one, when he is drawn away by his own desires, and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's very simple scripture, but it's very loaded. Saying that, number one thing you have to note, temptation does not come from God. Hallelujah. What is the origin of temptation according to this scripture? According to this scripture, what's the origin of temptation? Our desires. Yeah, it says, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Hallelujah. So, you know, the scripture is so well written that you always find answers in the things you are reading. Amen. So, I remember when we were growing up, we had a driver that would take my mom to work. He takes us to school. Then he takes my mom to work. Then he comes to pick us from school and all that. Then my brother and I were both in the same school. We were both in primary school. So I moved to the secondary school. And the secondary school is on the left side. The primary school is on the right. Okay? So when we drop in at the primary school, then he comes and comes to the right to come and pick me secondary school. A distance apart. And my brother doesn't understand what you call manage. You know that you manage life. doesn't understand it. Even from as little as he was, he doesn't understand it. When there was bread scarcity in the 1983 era, okay, my mom would drive. There was bread scarcity. There was petrol scarcity. But we would take the car out of the house, no petrol. I would drive around the city looking for bread for him because he would not eat any other thing except bread. And I always wondered, I said, why do you always disturb yourself? This boy, why can't he just, every other person is taking what's in there. Why must he eat bread? My mom said, leave him, oh, he's my last born. Go and buy bread. We'll look for bread all over. If the loaf is 10,000, assuming it's now, if it's 10,000, my mom, she won't have 10,000. She'll go and look for 10,000 and buy bread. So, this, and she so taught us that whatever I give you is enough. Okay, whatever I give to you is enough. If you go to school and see somebody wearing, what do you call it? What do you call that shoe then? There's this tennis we used to wear then. It's not. It's tennis. It's air. It's air field. No, it's nothing but. There was one that is for basketballers. It's air pumps. Yeah, you call them pumps. So if you go to school and see anybody wearing pumps, you will just look at the pumps. I don't even look at the person's leg because I know that we can't buy it. So I just move. But my brother, if you see the pumps, he's going to come home and say he wants to buy pumps. What was this guy? So then when I went to secondary school, and then he was in primary school, and then I think he saw somebody bring toys to his class, and he looked at the toy, and he really wanted it. And there was a supermarket around the primary school where he was. Okay, so he would tell the driver, take me to this. He closes at 1. I close at 2. So he knows that there's 1 hour gap. So he take me to this supermarket. Then he will go what you call window shopping. He will look at the toy. And then he'll look at the cost. This thing is 5 naira. Then it was 5 naira. Then he'll go back. Then he will talk to the superintendent and say, this toy, I'm coming back to buy it. It was in primary school, so it wasn't even 10 years. I'm coming back to buy this thing. And then sometimes you tell them to keep it at the back of the shelf that he's coming back to buy it. And so one day, and then we sleep in the same room. So one day, I was trying to pack the clothes in the cupboard, and I saw toys. I saw these soldier sets, small ones like this. Pam, 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 pam. We used to play them with marbles. You put your own set of soldiers here, you put his own set of soldiers there, and we play. Where did you get these soldiers? You just smile. Then you bring it out. We'll play, play, play. I said, where did you get this thing? He said, no, don't worry. We'll play. What's my own? We'll play. Then he packs it, puts it back at the back of the wardrobe cloak. When he starts hiding them, I know there's a problem. So one very day, I couldn't take it. The toys were becoming too much. There was pinball, the one you use your hand for, that you turn like this. We don't have the capacity to buy this. My mother won't buy it for you. Except it's Christmas or something. And if he's going to buy you Christmas, she'll buy you comics so that you can read in, you know. So that day, I just told my mom, I said, come, there's wahala. See this boy's toys. So how did you get these toys? He won't say anything. How did you get these toys? Then he sat down. And then he said, "Dad, okay, number one, where did you get it?" He said, he got it at the supermarket. Ah. So you got it at the supermarket? He said, yes. He said, I bought it at the supermarket. How did you buy it? He said, how did you get to the supermarket? He said, the driver took me. Ah, okay, the driver took you. Where did you get money from? Then he started confessing. Now, every time he comes, you know, our parents like us reading. So today, his notebook is missing. So he'll come to mommy, give me 2 naira. I have to buy a notebook. He won't buy the notebook, oh. He'll keep it. Then tomorrow, he'll say his pencil is missing. Then he'll give him 50 kobo. Then we'll add it. Then he will gather money. It wasn't even that bad. That was even small. Then he would tell the driver, guy, you are going to take me to that supermarket. The guy said, hey, no. He will give the guy 50 kobo. You give the guy 50. And he was just telling us, I didn't see anything wrong with it. You give the guy 50 kobo. Now just take me there. Then the guy will take him. He'll buy. So that's how he got it. Now, it was his desire that was propelling him. So anytime I look at the toys. Then the day he told me, I shook my head. I said, ha, it's interesting. He's the only person in our family that started making money when he was in secondary school. He went to the school authorities. I think his MP teacher. I said, you know what? I can print the program for intransport. Yeah, you're sure you can print? The man gave him the contract. And then he went to print the program. And then the printer won't give him program. He won't deliver program on time. And then he said, I have a brother. Oh. This one I was smiling. I didn't used to smile then. Then he came to call me at home and said, please, I have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, the program I'm printing for international school. I said, how? How is it you that... He was barely 13. How is it you that is printing program for international school? He said, please, it's not time for that one. I need to deliver this. This guy's not going to deliver. I said, okay, no problem. So I went with him to the printer. And then I stood by the door. And I told him that when I get there, he just asked the printer the same set of questions that he was asking him before. I wasn't smiling. I was just looking straight. And then I stood by the door. And I stood there. And he was talking to the printer. The printer was looking at me, and I was not smiling. And the printer was saying, yes, you will get it tomorrow. Yes, it will be delivered. And I was laughing. And he looked at me and said, that's why I said, just talk to him. Because if I talk to him, he'll probably be seeing my teeth, and he'll think I'm not serious. But if I'm quiet, he will deliver to you. Now, so his desires made him, okay, think. And he was thinking, and he was doing things that were totally wrong. Amen. Absolutely wrong. He will come to his mom, he will call her, you know, all these mommies, they think, you are not reading. They will be TV, TV. I want to buy a book. He say, my son is reading. You will collect tonight, and then you will go. Amen. The Bible says you are enticed by your desires, and then you are enticed. Hallelujah. You are drawn away. It becomes a problem. You cannot control it. And if you look at this problem, from the beginning of the earth, that was the beginning of the downfall of man. If you look at the book of... It wasn't that the serpent went to Eve and told her to eat. He gave her something juicy to think about. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. You know, when I was reading this chapter, I discovered that the serpent originally was not meant to crawl. It was not meant to crawl. Don't argue about it. Just go and read Genesis chapter 3 to the end. It was not meant to crawl originally. It was not made to crawl. Okay? It was because of this that he did that God said, you will crawl on your belly. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, and he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that if it wasn't Eve's desire to be like God, to know good and evil, she would not have taken what the serpent said. He just looked at it and said, look, God had always come to have fellowship with them, and he would have been interacting with God, and I stand to be corrected. But when God comes, you will just ordinarily, you will just like the aura and the atmosphere around him. Hallelujah. Okay, you know, some people, when they come to your house, even the way you close your eyes, if you are in the city, when you close your eyes, your people in the house know that you don't want to see that person. Just if somebody is knocking my door and I don't want to see the person, so that I won't tell them to lie, I'll just close my eyes. If they call me, I won't shake my head. I'll just close my eyes. They just say, daddy is sleeping. You know. Today, now I've said it now, they will know that. I just close my eyes. I don't want to hear this person. I'm just going to close my eyes, and everybody will think I'm meditating. Okay. So if it was not a desire, okay, this simple thing that has happened to her would not have passed. Okay? He said, no, don't worry. If you eat it, this is why he said it. Because he knows that you'll be like him, and then you will know good from evil. And then she took it. Amen. Hallelujah. Our desires have to be controlled. Okay? Potiphar's wife could not control her desire. And then she looked at Joseph. And so much desired Joseph. And then she did all the plots as she could. She probably sent everybody else on an errand so that nobody was at home. Okay? And then was left with her and Joseph. Okay? And then Joseph refused. Because it was not, not anything in him that he was thinking about before. And it's not even only when it comes to sexual matters that we have temptation. Hallelujah. Our desires can draw us in any direction and in any way at all. Amen. What is important is that you have to be able to master them even before they come. Amen. So if your lifestyle has not been consistent with God's word, it's not going to be easy for you to curtail your desires. And even when you are consistent with God's word, okay, when these things come, what you have to fall back on or what you'll be able to fall back on is on God's word. Because all Joseph did was that he was telling Potiphar's wife, right? He said, look, this thing you're asking me to do, it is, my master has left everything right here except you. And then it will be a sin against God. He didn't even say it will be a sin against his master. Hallelujah. Amen. So the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He looked at it and said, look, it will be a sin against God. Hallelujah. So if you understand that everything that you are and everything that you will ever be is centered around God, and all the things that you do, you will always consider him first before you take your actions. Amen. 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 You want me to be saying louder so that the recorder will record me? You know, when we wanted to start this online thing, I thought it too. I said, man, we cannot do online. We will give them edited version. I said, no. It has to be online. I said, because we cannot behave the way we normally behave. Because tomorrow somebody will say, why this one is shouting louder? And they will not know the story of louder. Hallelujah. So the jury, amen. So I was talking about Joseph, okay? And in Mark chapter 14, so the story of Joseph you will see in Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 39 verse 6. But in Mark chapter 14, this is what the Bible says. Verse 38. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Hallelujah. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, with all our desires and everything, if you just sit down and look at things around you, and then you say, look, all these things that all of us are running after. I don't know what you are running after. I know what me, I am running after. But everything that everybody is pursuing in this life, okay, to what end? If you can always ask yourself that question, you will always get yourself back to a point of reality. Okay? So some people, they want to ride the best cars in the world. They want to do everything. And to what end? Now, we are living in the end times. Things are not going to be different and are not going to be better. Let's not deceive ourselves, because it's the end time. Okay, it says perilous times will come. Okay, these things will happen. But what is going to happen to you and I is that we are always able to rise above these situations. Okay, the land will yield its increase unto us. So even there's farming, the land will yield its increase unto us. I thought you would say amen. You are not listening. Maybe we should just go home. Because even if there's farming, if the land is yielding its increase unto us, it's a prayer. Hallelujah. Things are not, petrol is not probably going back to 180. If it goes back to 180 naira, they will drop everybody's earning power. That's what will happen. They won't leave it there. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you think that things will get better, don't kid yourself. You should just stay more in God so that you'll be able to rise above these situations. Hallelujah. Amen. That he will provide for you and I. There is no argument about that. He will provide. And that's why you see that even in all these things, we are getting better and better by the day. Hallelujah. I don't go to the shop to buy anything. I don't. I stopped going to the shop a long time ago. I don't. Because when we go to the shop, we always argue. Say, we want to buy this thing. Why must you buy it? Say, don't we have our tongue? Say, no, we need it. Why do you need it? Say, we have to buy it. And then we arguing. He said, you know what, Mr. D, please don't follow us. I'll get again. I said, I don't understand. I should not follow it. Yes, just give us money. We'll make the decision. So for my own peace of mind, I didn't follow them. So you can imagine the shock. I think I told you before, the shock I had, there was one particular biscuit I always tell them to buy for me. I thought that biscuit was probably 1,000 naira or 700 naira. And then that day I was feeling like a good man. So I said, I'll surprise these people. And I went to the supermarket myself. And I go to the shelf and I looked at it. I think the biscuits were about 12,000. I said, 12,000. I called, I picked my phone. I called the woman. I said, how much is biscuit? They told me, it's 12,000. I said, and you've been buying it. He said, but you say you want to eat it. I said, don't buy it again. Hallelujah. When you can go home and take granite and garlic and be fine. Why buy biscuit 12,000 naira? He says, because you want it. I said, please, anytime I tell you something, just tell me, sir, this is the price. I will tell you the alternative. Amen. Because the things that, you see, the Bible says that everybody, it says here that in verse 38, it says, where is this verse now? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If we cannot control these desires, you do not know what it will cost you. Hallelujah. You don't. Amen. When I was growing up, even up to now, if I take my phone and tell my mom I'm coming home, and I tell her I want to eat this one and this one and this one, I will eat it. Do you get what I'm saying? Because she knows that I don't make a demand. So if I call my phone and say, Mom, I'm coming home, please, I want to eat this and this and this. Say, okay, no problem. How she gets it? So the other day, sometime early this year, I told her I was in a bar and that I was going to sleep over. And she now made a mistake of sending me a text. Don't worry, I'm going to go to the market now and I'm going to buy this and this and this. I just picked my phone and said, Mom, don't worry, I'm going to Lagos. She said, why? I said, why would you go? Because why would you go and buy all these things? This for you. I said, don't worry, don't inconvenience. I said, it's 5 o'clock. I will get to Lagos before dark. I know. I said, next time I won't tell you. Because because of these things that they know is your desire, they come at a great cost. And I'm using food because you can easily relate with it. So imagine that these are grave things that can give you problems. Hallelujah. Somebody is coming to you and you have a deal. Somebody does not talk to me again now because he called me and said, look, help me do this thing. And help me add this amount on it. And I said, no, I'm not interested. And because of that, I got a very cold treatment and I can't be bothered. It's his office. Find somebody that can do this. And then he comes to me and says, look, please, then you have something. That was the mistake he made. And I said, there's no way. There's no way that's going to happen. And then he got angry. Why didn't you do it? I said, why would I do it? Don't they pay you in the office? Why must I ask something for you? If you know that you can do it, Go and start your own company and then start doing it for them. You have to be content. Our desires have to be controlled. It says, watch and pray so that what you are not taken away, they are not taking you, lest you enter into temptation. Because temptation doesn't come from God. It's our own desires. Amen. In Genesis chapter 30, No, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. That Genesis 39, don't worry. You can go home and read the story of Joseph. In Matthew chapter 4. From verse 1, it says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Christ was being tempted. That is how to deal with temptation. Christ was meeting them. He had told his disciples, watch and pray. Abi, he had said, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. And then he was being tempted. And the devil looked at it as, look, this is the Son of God, right? Working miracles will be a desire of his, right? The Bible says everywhere he went, he was doing good. Isaiah 61 tells us, okay? Please give me Isaiah 61. Something I remember this morning. So let me pause here. Remember what I'm saying now. What am I saying now? That he was being tempted, Abby. Remember it, because I want to digress. That's what I should remember. And then it was his desire to make miracles happen, Abby. So let's do pause. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Here they have sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I want to tell you that broken hearts can be healed. Amen. You know, some people will tell you that if your heart is broken, they will now show you how they sellotape it. Abi? Sellotape it. And say, the marks are this there. If you will give it to God, then there is healing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's healing. So please, if your heart is, I don't know what it is for, but I remember that he came to me this morning, and if your heart is broken, okay, remember that he has come to heal the brokenhearted and to give them beauty for ashes. No condition is meant to impress itself upon your life permanently. If you accept what Christ has done, and then this works for you. Amen. So we go back to Matthew chapter 4. And so he said that you are turn these stones into bread. Okay, because he knows that ordinarily will be something that will excite him. It's his desire. Okay? But there's always that control measure that the word of God always puts in. See, there's nothing to prove to anybody in this life. You don't need to prove anything. Just live your life normally. Okay? So I tell my son, look, at this stage that you are, you don't need to prove to anybody again that you can do this. All you need to do, go and master everything. If you take yourself away from the scene for a while, people will wonder that where you are. But just go and master everything. Just like the eagle, you know the eagle bird, when it's about 40 years old, you won't see it again. It will go into the mountain. And when it does, it sheds its feather, it breaks its beak, and then it grows them anew and becomes fresh. So everybody will think, this eagle is dead. Okay, but where it is rejuvenating itself. The feathers will come alive. It will grow new ones. Its beak will grow sharper. And then it comes back with greater force. Okay, always have that at the back of your mind. There's nothing to show anybody, to prove to anybody that you are a macho man. It won't take you anywhere. It will probably just be your downfall if you're not careful. Because if Christ has listened to this guy, the first thing the devil will say is that, didn't I tell you to turn stones into bread, and did you not obey me? That's what he would say, because he had obeyed, right? What Christ said, he said to him and said in verse 4, then he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. Amen. And this is one of the reasons why we keep saying that the power that the devil has is in deceit. Amen. And it works on your everything that is on your inside. Everything that you know. Amen. Everything that will be your desire, or anything that he knows that if this guy doesn't do this thing, there's going to be a problem. So he's saying, look, throw yourself down. See, I said, he will give his angels charge over. He's telling him God's word. And what did Christ say? He says, in their arms, for Jesus, no, please, let me finish reading that part. He says, in their arms, they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then the next thing, Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what that means? You know, when we read, I think we were reading Mark chapter 16 on Thursday, and it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Says you will take any harmful thing and you will not hurt you. Then you purposely go and take harmful thing. See what Jesus did here. He says, It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I mean, we've heard stories of people that went to jump into lions' den. Are they Daniel? Hallelujah. It's not the same dispensation that they are in. And Daniel did not go and throw himself in the lion's den. Amen. People wanted him dead, and then they put him in the lion's den. He didn't go and throw in the lion's den and say, oh yeah, lion, start eating me. No. Let's not make mockery of the word of God. Look, when we read these things, look at the context and the situation around it, and be sure that God will show up for your case when you stand up for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Very simple. Christ said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And then let's continue. And then again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship him. Then he said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And then he says, then the devil left him. He said, bow, please go back one step. He says, away with you. No, nine. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Amen. Hallelujah. See, one worship, and that breaks it all. Abi, you know that even in this our simple life, if somebody comes to you and beg and prostrates once, you'll be for me. That should be that guy. The other time he came, he prostrated to me. Abi, he was there. He was just begging on the floor. That's what you say. That's what the devil wanted to do. He was going to take away that glory. He said, just bow down and worship. And then he said, you know what? No, this is not going to happen. It's enough. What did he say? Let's go back to verse 11. Verse 10 says, away with you, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Hallelujah. Do you know that in the first two instances, he was countering him. In this last one, it was a simple command, away with you. And then he left. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians 5, I think it's verse 20, 25 or so. Yeah, 22. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Are we there? It says, we should stay away from every form of evil. That's the first thing. Stay away from every form of evil. The second thing, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 7. Says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Is that resistance, that internal resistance, that many of us feel in? Hallelujah. Because if you look at what Christ told him, away with you, and that was the last thing he said, and then the devil left him for a while. Here in the book of James, he's saying that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you are going to stay away from all appearance of evil, all appearance of evil. All right. Now, if you take the word appearance, you know something can appear evil and it's not evil. Abi? Let me tell you something. There was a time in my where I stayed. So, we're changing security guards. And then they brought this guy and everybody was uncomfortable with him. Because he was looking so fierce. I was black from head to toe. He was looking so fierce. So one guy came to me and said, Mr. Drew, would you? I'm not comfortable with this guy. I said, what do you want? I said, no. We need to change him. I said, well, go and tell the person that brought him. I said, I also feel that there's a problem. I don't know, but I'm not sure. So you can't judge with appearance. And then today, the guy stayed though. You didn't chase him. Today.
most effective
that we've had. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, when you understand simple security protocols, when you talk about simple security protocols, this guy understands it. But if you had been his appearance, we would have sent him away. Eh? So the Bible is saying here, don't wait till, don't be like people that live in my compound that waited to test the guy to see that he understands security protocol. Say, once he appears, once he looks like evil, say, flee from all appearances of evil. Once he looks like it, you don't need to wait to begin to unravel it, because you do not know when you won't know when you give in. See, with the simple sentence he told, if he didn't tell her twice, it's only once, like, you'll be like God now, Alpha, just eat it. And that was all. The first time that he told, that if when she had eat it, if she had left, she wouldn't have heard the rest. Hallelujah. Amen. Once it looks like it, then leave it. If you will deal with temptation, once it looks like it, leave it. I can't remember which one of the men of God told the story that in his office, everything about his office is glass. So the walls, glass. The table is glass. Eh? So that you can know if there are leg movements under the table. Hallelujah. So when he has a female, what do you call it? No. When he has somebody that has come to see him, visitor, okay, everything is transparent. Even if he thinks that there's no way, he's not in that office. It's not going to happen. Because it's true. Hallelujah. But even beyond that, let your heart be that transparent. Amen. If you will not flee from appearances of evil, when you want to start unraveling it, that evil will catch up. Amen. It will catch up if you are not careful. Christ says that when he was being tempted, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. You don't, because you know that it will be his desire to solve people's problem. You don't bring it to him. I know that has been, if you look at people that we say are holy and righteous in this country, that has been their bane. When they were invited to government, I said they can do it, they can do it. They just gave them a bait. Yeah? They just gave them a bait. And then they took it. And in that bait, because they said they know that they love the people, we are come and serve the people now. And in that bait, they put them down. They pulled them down. The devil's ways. They are full of wiles. It says you're not ignorant of the wiles of the enemy. They are wiles. It's not power. There's two different things about it. The power lies with you and with God. Amen. Because we were made in his image and likeness. Hallelujah. You have to be able to discern and understand that this is deceitful. Amen. Hallelujah. Second thing is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 23. You have to learn to walk on overcoming selfishness. Okay? Greed and selfishness. True love does not know selfishness, because if you love Jesus, and then you will not be selfish. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. Hallelujah. Okay? So, for everybody that has fallen victim of all these scam things, for everyone that's fallen victim of it, the one that's fallen victim has an iota of greed and selfishness in him. Smiling. Maybe like 5-10% are genuinely innocent. But 80%, 90% of people that are falling victim is because of greed and selfishness. Hallelujah. Someone will tell you that government wants to give you 10,000. The government are saying that everybody owes about 700. Have you not heard that every Nigerian owes about 711,000 naira by the Bureau of Statistics? So that's what they want to say. They want to give everybody 10,000 naira. And then you now say, send your NIN, your BVN, What else will he send? Your phone number and your mother's last name, maiden name. And they say, 10,000 naira. YouTube, send it. Those are the times you need to pause. You know, say, this country self. Look, for everybody that has fallen guilty, they are willingly giving out their information. Abi? It's not that somebody hacked your phone. You say, send it. I let them call you. Call this number. In fact, you know, so I have one particular elderly person. Anytime she gets those messages, she's always forwarded to me. I just laugh. Sometimes, you know, the number is 080 or 070. These people put O. When they want it, even when they want to type their phone number, that send your details to this, they put O. They won't write 0. They put O. It's not possible. But the greed that men have, because everybody is looking for a way out, hallelujah, of this calamity. Trust me. God is only your only way out. He will send you help when you need it. Hallelujah. Amen. You say he's talking like that. No, it's not. I'm not just talking like that. I'm trying to save people from errors because it's greed. Amen. And it's temptation. So if these little things can take us away, how much more weightier matters? Just like we're looking at in Matthew 23 this morning. How much more weightier things? Amen. Hallelujah. In now, is this temptation matter ever going to come? Don't doubt it. There is no Superman that temptation will not come to you. If Christ will go through temptation, then you and I are very vulnerable. Hallelujah. How we stand against it is what is important. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 13, the Bible says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having guided your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, put on the whole full armor of God, that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, you may be able to stand your ground. You have to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. The full armor. Because evil days will come. Days that will test how much of control of the internal environment has over the physical will come. Amen. You know, I don't know if it happens to you. Every time, back in those days, every time that I want to shunt a lane, that's when they'll catch me. You understand? And it's like, why will some people be going this way and getting away with it? I'm going to do it. And then when I just shunt like this, they just stop. I just shunt like this. And then after that, I just stay on my lane like this. I don't shunt. Then even when I see traffic controllers say, go this way, I say, lie. He says, it's not possible. I'm not going that way. Hallelujah. He says, you have to be ready. And you cannot be ready because you don't know. He says, if you look at the armor of God, the full armor. Let's go to the full armor. From verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. See, if you look, let's go back to verse 10. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay? So, the Bible, very careful. In the power of his might. And then it says, so that, the next verse, Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. So the things that withstand power, they are actually wiles of the devil. And he just lures us by our desire. He just lures us. Is that our desire? I just want to quickly do this thing. And you know that in your mind, you know that it's wrong. I just want to quickly do it. When you are quickly doing it, then you will quickly get into trouble. I know what the wiles of the devil does. You do it the first time, you get away with it. You do it the second time, and then you get used to it. And then someone just comes up one day and says, ah, hallelujah. Amen. See, my driver has been used to picking people on the road and collecting money. And thank God for, what's it called? Thank God for, what's the governor's name? Thank God for this government. So, he's been doing it too, and I've been watching. It's when you send him to go and buy fuel that will be arguing. Ah, when this car starts consuming fuel. I say, oh, God, this one, they chop fuel, where? I laugh at me and this car. I've been with these cars like 10 years. You want to come and tell me about this car? I just laugh. So on this fateful day, he went to the office, he dropped my wife, and immediately he dropped her. He went on his spree. And then my wife got SMS. Camera don't catch him. I know the beauty of it. The camera does not just say, this is your offense. The camera puts a video for you. So there's no controversy. So we put the video. So the car was going. And two people were running after the car. They opened the door and jumped in. And then that was what the camera showed. When I showed him, he said, no, sir. It's not so. I said, how? He said, no, sir, it's not so. How? I said, how is it not so? So if I had asked him and there was no video, that's how the two of us would not go and argue with government. I would say, my driver did not do it. He said, how? Just admit simple thing. Amen. See, so that's not his first time. But I'm saying, when you do it once, you do it a second time, you just be. Eh? You say, I'm very sharp. I know how to go about things. Yeah, it's not this thing. This is how to do it. The day to catch up, you will not expect it. And see, these minor things are okay. And so eventually, they shall build the car, 25,000. I said, there's no problem. I'm not going to sack you. This 25,000, you will pay it. You pay it. There's no hurry. Let's just be working together. Say, hey, sir, sorry, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sir. So, well, you know what I will do? Anytime I get to the office, just tell madam to collect key from me. So when I park, I'll go and give key to madam. He wants to... that's a way to flee from the appearance of evil, Abi, so that I will not be tempted... so that I will not be tempted to take the car. I said, no, that's this key. It will stay with you. God help you. Hallelujah. I said, you know the anointing. Just 3 days before. 3 days before. I said, guy, the rate at which I'm buying fuel is alarming. And I don't understand why every time you drive, we have to buy fuel twice when I drive. So instead of having arguments, so today, I will buy fuel into the car. I will drive it. I will look at it. I will give him. Same thing, you go. You spend. If I do 1 liter, he will do 2 liters. I said, there's something wrong. I said, oh, God, this one, they chop well. Even that one said, they chop well. I said, which one? I said, that one. I said, okay, no problem. Until government solves the problem for us. He's not going to tell me tomorrow that the guy is chopping well. Is he going to tell me? I was there to sack him before. When my wife came back, I said, you're not sacked. I said, no, I've not sacked him. I said, but you know, I was the one that was preaching that you forgive. I said, so, I said, why did you even read that part of the Bible that day? I said, Jimmy, forget it. I said, leave it, don't worry. Let him drive. He's not, unless he's hardened, he's not going to repeat himself again. Amen. So, it was supposed to be at Oniru. So, the camera caught him at Lekki at 9 o'clock when they were supposed to be in the office. I was just laughing. Amen. So on Friday when he came home, when he came back home, I said, did you go to Ajah today? He did not laugh. Hallelujah. I'm saying that, see, when you do things over and over again, that you know that, and you know that they are not right, it's because God is giving you that chance to correct yourself. Hallelujah. There's no smartness in it. It will catch up with you if you don't change. And it's not about the devil. Hallelujah. It's about your own desires. Nothing happens to you outside of your desires. If you cannot control it, it will control you. Amen. Hallelujah. And if these things, and truly, when it comes to this, our desire matter, this is the solution. Philippians chapter 4. Before we go to this one, let's look at the story of Cain and Abel. You know that if Cain had listened, he would not have ended up killing Abel. If he had controlled that desire to kill him and had listened, he wouldn't have. Genesis chapter 4. You know that some things are, we think some things are not useful until you miss them. This pulpit is back, and it makes life a lot easier. These are vessels that are unto honor. Hallelujah. Amen. So Genesis chapter 4. Verse 4. It says, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and his desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, why are you angry? Okay? If you do well, and see, at this level, everybody knows to do well. Abi? Everybody understands what is to do well and what is not to do well. If somebody does not understand, then there's a problem. Everybody understands what is to do well. And especially when it comes to God. So it was about them both taking offering to God. Okay? And it says there that Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and did not respect Abel and his offerings. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Okay? So God was even pointing to that, look, you know what you have done. There's no problem. Why are you getting angry? And why is your countenance falling? And he's saying, look, this is your desire. It's going to be a problem. Because at that time, he had been looking at it that he was going to eliminate his brother. He says, because sin lies at the door. He says in verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance falling? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and it shall be, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked to Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel and his brother and killed him. Hallelujah. If he had managed his internal environment, he would not have killed Abel. And it wasn't that he didn't know what God was telling him when God had said that, look, sin lies and his desire is for you. He just wants you. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to control our internal environment. And the thing is, look, our desires, your simple things, from very small things, and they are very important. When we were growing up, I told you, my mom just would manage whatever resources she had, and we were just three. Money, whatever resources. When we go to the market, when it's holiday into school time, when we go to the market to buy shoe or whatever, when she doesn't have enough money,
my brother will insist on getting whatever he wants. So he gets it. And then she will say, my sister is a girl. We have to buy for her so that no man will go and entice her. I don't even understand all those things. So that no man will entice her. Who entice her in primary school? Say, so she will buy for the girl. Then this one that is very stubborn, she will buy for you. Then she now look at me and say, we'll come back and buy your own. So every time that we go to the market to buy, I don't go to the market with any desire. Because I know at the end of the day, they will just say, it's me that say, guy, just calm down. We come back. I will never go back to that thing. What I will do is I will not look in the house. So I'll look for somebody's shoe somewhere that looks okay. And it's usually my mother's pair of tennis because she used to run and play. She used to run. So she has, I'll carry her tennis. I'll be wearing it. I'm going to put it. But I never, when we go to the market, there's no way that I will go to the market and be disappointed. It never happened to me. After the first time, it never. Because I saw that, okay, it has become a trend. So when we get to the market, so when they say, yeah, we are going to buy something, even if he says he has plenty of money, I just say, I beg. I just zero my mind. When they're asking me, do you want this? I say, no. Do you want this? I don't know. And that thing has so affected me today that if you tell me that what do you want, I just tell you nothing. So that when I get to the market, I won't come back with disappointments. But those ones, they're happy. They come back with something. No problem. Amen. So you can imagine that they're asking me, what do you want to eat? I say, I don't know. What do you want? I don't know. This one, I don't know. So that if you ask me what do you want to eat, and I tell you that I want spaghetti bolognese, you don't have, I'll be disappointed. Then this one, so give me whatever you have. I'll be okay with it. He said, our desires, they are very important. Philippians chapter 4. You need to offer your mind and thoughts to God. He knows better what is good for us. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4 and from verse 8. Just finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hallelujah. He says to him that these are the things you have learned and received and heard and you saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and anything praiseworthy, those are the things that you need to meditate upon, and those are the things that should drive your desire. Anything that nobody must hear, or anything that nobody, if they hear, they say, how can it be you? Those things are not so. Those are desires that you need to throw away. Amen. And that's the best way to resist the wiles of the wicked one. And we rise on our feet. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, your words have hidden my heart that I may not sin against you. When we keep God's word close to our heart, then we are not likely. Amen. We are not going to depart away from what God wants us to be. And Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's thank him because indeed we are able to control our desires and our thoughts. The Bible has given us a way out from Philippians chapter 4 from verse 8. It says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, those things that are worthy, praiseworthy, and of good report, those are the things that we need to ponder upon and dwell upon so that we can bring them to bear. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for the word that we heard. Thank you because indeed we'll mix them with faith and they will be of good value to us in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting King of glory. Your name be exalted. In Jesus' name.
Amen.